Whoa, did you catch that OpenAI announcement? Reasoning like a PhD student, they said. Seriously, my jaw almost hit the floor. They're really swinging for the fences this time.
Yeah, no kidding. They're not exactly known for holding back on the big claims, are they?
Nope, not at all. But that's what we're here for, right? We're diving headfirst into their technical reports, blog posts, all that good stuff, to see what this whole reasoning revolution is really all about. You ready to separate some fact from fiction?
Absolutely. It's a catchy phrase, reasoning revolution, but I'm really curious to see what it actually means when we get down to the nitty-gritty. And one thing that already caught my eye is how they're framing this O1 series.
You're right. It's O this time, not GPT. That seems like a pretty deliberate choice, don't you think?
Definitely deliberate. It's like they're moving beyond the whole generative pre-trained transformer thing and really leaning into this idea of dot optimization.
Optimization. Makes sense, right? O for optimization. But what does that actually look like in practice?
That is the million-dollar question. From what I'm seeing, especially with this O1 preview model, it's all about mimicking how we think. Remember how GPT often felt like a supercharged search engine?
Oh, yeah. Blew me away at first, but.
Right. Lightning fast, tons of information, but it didn't really feel like it understood what it was saying, more like it was just really good at connecting the dots.
Exactly. And O1 is different.
This time, they're using something called chain of thought processing. Instead of just spitting out an answer, it actually takes the time to work through the problem step by step, kind of like we do.
So it's less about instant answers and more about the process.
It seems that way. And that's what makes it so intriguing, I think. This isn't just about speed anymore. It's about trying to replicate the way humans actually think.
Okay, I'm starting to see why OpenAI is so excited about this. But do we have any concrete examples of how this chain of thought thing actually works?
Absolutely. Remember that cipher example OpenAI gave?
Oh, yeah. The one where it actually breaks down the code step by step. That's what really sold me on this whole thing, to be honest.
That example perfectly illustrates OpenAI's process. Instead of brute forcing a solution, O1 Preview analyzed patterns, tested different possibilities, even went back and corrected its own mistakes, all while showing its work.
It's like getting a glimpse into the AI's thought process. That's wild.
It is, and that's precisely what sets O1 apart. This chain of thought approach allows it to approach problems in a fundamentally different way. It's not just processing information, it's reasoning. At least that's the claim.
Okay, so we've got this new chain of thought process that's supposedly more human-like. But how does that translate to real-world applications?
Well, that's what we're here to find out. And luckily, OpenAI has provided some pretty compelling examples.
And it wasn't just about cracking codes, right? They had O1 Preview writing actual bash scripts, working code. Meanwhile, GPT-4o, well, let's just say it had a bit of a tougher time.
It did, and that's what really gets me excited about the potential here. We're talking about AI that can understand and generate complex code, which could be huge for software development, automation, all sorts of things.
Absolutely. Oh, and remember that math problem they threw at it? I'm no mathematician, but even I could tell GPT-4o was in a bit over its head.
Yeah, that was something. But O1 Preview, taking its sweet time with that chain of thought approach, actually nailed the solution. OpenAI said it was performing right up there with top students.
Which is mind-blowing when you think about it. It feels like we're moving past AI just mimicking stuff and into AI actually solving problems in a way that we recognize as intelligent.
Exactly. And that brings up a whole other side to this, doesn't it? The safety aspect.
Right. Because the smarter these things get, the more important it is to make sure they're, on our team.
Exactly. And one of the big selling points for O1 is this idea of improved safety through reasoning. OpenAI's argument is that because O1 can think through the consequences of its actions, it's less likely to be tricked into doing something harmful. They're even saying it's more resistant to those jailbreaking attempts that have been a problem with earlier models.
Jailbreaking. For those of us who haven't quite gotten around to building our own AI supervillain, what does that even mean?
Right, good point. Jailbreaking in this context basically means tricking the AI into ignoring its safety guidelines, like finding a way to make it say or do something it's not supposed to.
Okay, so kind of like finding a loophole in a computer program, making it do something the programmers didn't intend.
Exactly. And researchers, well, some people who probably just want to see what happens, have been finding ways to jailbreak language models to do all sorts of crazy stuff.
So OpenAI is saying O1 is better at resisting those tricks.
That's the claim. They're saying that O1 can actually reason about the consequences of its actions, so it's better at understanding and following the rules, even when someone's trying to trick it.
Okay, I can see the logic there. But it also seems like we're running into a bit of a transparency issue. If this AI is making decisions based on reasoning, don't we need to be able to see how it's getting there? Especially if we're talking about AI having real-world impact, how can we trust it to make the right call if we don't know how it's making those calls?
That's a very valid concern, and it's something OpenAI has acknowledged. As of right now, they're keeping the specifics of O1's chain of thought hidden.
Hidden. Why would he do that?
Well, it's complicated. They argue that if they revealed how O1 reasons, it could actually make it easier for bad actors to either manipulate the system or even create their own versions with, shall we say, less noble intentions.
Okay, I can see that. But on the other hand, if we can't see the reasoning, how do we know it's actually making good decisions? What if it's picking up on bias in the data or developing these weird lines of reasoning that we, as humans, wouldn't consider logical or even safe?
Exactly. It's a tough balancing act. On one hand, we want these models to be as powerful as possible, but we also need to make sure we can trust them.
It's almost like the more human-like these AIs become, the more we have to think about the same ethical questions we struggle with ourselves.
Right. It's not just about preventing harm, but also about making sure these powerful tools are used for good. We need open, honest discussions about the consequences of this technology.
Which is a whole other can of worms. But before we disappear down that rabbit hole, can we circle back to something we mentioned earlier? The different versions of O1. We've talked a lot about O1 Preview, but there's also O1 Mini, right?
Yes. O1 Mini, the little sibling, that was a very clever move from OpenAI, in my opinion.
I'm inclined to agree. From what I've gathered, O1 Mini is smaller, more affordable, and it's supposed to be optimized for STEM fields. Science, tech, engineering, math. It's like a specialized tool compared to O1 Preview, which is more like a swarmy knife.
A very apt analogy. And by releasing both versions at the same time, OpenAI is strategically targeting very different users. O1 Preview, with all its power and, let's be honest, ethical baggage, is clearly aimed at researchers, developers, and those who are really pushing the boundaries.
And O1 Mini seems geared towards more practical applications. Students, programmers, maybe even researchers working on really specific problems where they need a fast, cost-effective solution.
Exactly. It's fascinating, isn't it? Like they're testing the waters with different applications of this technology.
It's a smart move, for sure. I'm curious to see how these two branches, the preview and the mini, will develop over time.
Me too. It really speaks to a broader trend we're seeing, wouldn't you say? The shift towards AI specialization, creating models that are really good at specific tasks or domains instead of trying to build one model to rule them all.
Absolutely. And it makes you wonder, what other specialized O1s might we see down the line? An O1 for creative writing, O1 for medical diagnoses. It seems like the possibilities are endless.
The potential is enormous, and OpenAI has already hinted at even more updates. Browsing, file uploads. It seems like the only limit is our imagination and our ability to use it responsibly, of course.
Which is the perfect place to transition to our next topic, don't you think? Because we've talked about what O1 can do, but what does this reasoning revolution really mean for us, for society as a whole?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's one we're going to unpack right after this quick break. Stay with us.
And we're back. So before the break, we were getting pretty deep into the nuts and bolts of O1, even speculating about some pretty wild future applications. But I gotta admit, this whole reasoning revolution thing, it's a bit of a head trip, isn't it?
It is a loaded term, that's for sure. And I think it reflects this kind of uneasy excitement that surrounds AI these days. OpenAI seems to be saying that this isn't just a step forward, it's a fundamental shift in how AI actually thinks.
Right, and that's what makes this so different, right? We're not talking about just faster processing or more data anymore. It's about, well, intelligence, or at least something that looks a lot like it.
Exactly. And that's both incredibly exciting and, if we're being honest, a little bit terrifying.
No kidding. On the one hand, we've got OpenAI painting this picture of O1 and its successors, solving all these problems we haven't been able to crack: climate change, poverty, disease. But then there's this other side. What if those solutions come at a cost we didn't anticipate? Or what if these AI systems, even with all their reasoning power, end up with goals that don't exactly line up with ours?
Those are the million-dollar questions, aren't they? And it's why it's so crucial to be asking them now. One thing I keep coming back to is the need for a healthy dose of skepticism. Don't get me wrong, those demos OpenAI showed were impressive, but we have to remember, those were very controlled environments.
So how do we know this translates to the real world, where things are messy and unpredictable?
Exactly. And that's something we need to be thinking about, right? How do you test an AI's reasoning abilities when the test itself is constantly changing?
Right. It's not like a math problem with a neat and tidy answer. And then there's the whole issue of bias.
Huge issue. If these models are learning from the data we feed them, and a lot of human-generated data is, well, let's just say it's not exactly neutral, how do we make sure O1's reasoning isn't just reflecting our own biases back at us?
Right. Even with the best intentions, we could end up creating an AI that's super smart and super biased.
And able to act on those biases in ways we can't even imagine. That's why transparency and open discussion are so important here. We need ethicists, social scientists, policymakers, everyone really involved in this conversation.
It's a huge task. But it feels like we're at this crossroads, right? It's not just about what AI can do anymore. It's about what we want it to do. What kind of future we're creating with this technology.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, I think that's a great place to wrap things up. We've covered a lot of ground today, from the inner workings of O1 to some pretty big questions about the future of, well, everything.
It's been quite a journey.
To everyone listening, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. And remember, the future of AI isn't something that just happens to us. It's something we create. So let's make sure we create a good one.
Hear, hear.
That's all for this episode. Until next time, stay curious.